please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew. The question that we have first is, what does God want from us? It is quite clear that God wants us to know Him. He wants us to know Him right. And when we know Him right, we will realize that God loves us. Then once we realize that God loves us, then we love Him back, then worshipping Him in spirit and in truth, we begin to worshipping Him right.
And
consequently then we benefit in all His blessings. So we come to church to learn of who Jesus is. That is what we aim to do each and every Sunday when we come to this church.
So,
from this morning onwards, we begin a series from the Gospel according to Matthew. We want to know who is this Jesus. There's a reason why we want to know who is this Jesus. And we will see as we go through. So we shall begin then this morning by reading from chapter number 1.
Chapter 1, Matthew chapter 1.
But before we do that, let me bring few important facts about this book of Matthew. It was written by Matthew, as we are saying. Matthew was a Jewish man. So he writes this book between 70 and 80 AD. I will tell you why is that important. After the destruction of the temple, he writes. That's important, but as we go through the series, you realize why it's important. He writes to Jewish people or Jews who are willing now to accept faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jews who are considering Christ. The primary theme of the book is that Jesus is the King of the Jews. And what we will see time and again is the theme that keeps coming up, that we must focus to the kingdom of God. Or sometimes it's called, especially in this book, the kingdom of heaven. So now, we're going through this because we want to receive the King. Matthew is bringing us the King. So what we will continue to do as we're going on, we shall see the need for us to be a people of the kingdom. So we shall see also the blessing of the inhabitants of the kingdom. Matthew is bringing us, or is revealing, a King. That is what we must keep in our minds. So we shall read then from verse 1 to verse
17. Leloko la Jesu Kriste, mora Dafita, mora Abrahama. Abrahama atswala Isaka, Isaka atswala Jakobo. Jakobo atswala Juda le bana babo. Juda atswala Farese le Sara ka Tamari. Farese atswala Hesroni. Hesroni atswala Arame. Arame atswala Aminadabe. Aminadabe atswala Nashoni. Nashoni atswala Salema. Salema atswala Boase ka Rahaba. Boase atswala Obede ka Rute. Obede atswala Jesse. Jesse atswala khosi Davida. Davida atswala Solomone ka mahatsa Oria. Solomone atswala Roboame. Roboame atswala Abia. Abia atswala Asa. Asa atswala Jehoshaphate. Jehoshaphate atswala Jorame. Jorame atswala Usia. Usia atswala Jotame. Jotame atswala Akasi. Akasi atswala Ezekiah. Ezekiah atswala Manase. Manase atswala Amos. Manase atswala Amos. Amos atswala Josia. Josia atswala Jeconia le bana ba bo ka nako ya go falisetswa ha ba Juda Babilona. Jwale ka mora o falisetswa ha ba bona Babilona. Jeconia atswala Salatiele. Salatiele atswala Zorobabele. Zorobabele atswala Abihude. Abihude atswala Eliakime. Eliakime atswala Asore. Asore atswala Sadoke. Sadoke atswala Akime. Akime atswala Eleude. Eleude atswala Eleasare. Eleasare atswala Matani. Matani atswala Jakobo. Jakobo atswala Josefa, mhatsa Maria. Msadi ya ile atswala Jesu ya bitswang Kreste. Ha o le jwalo meloko yohle o tla ho Abrahama ho isa ho Davida. Ebile le shome le metso e mene o tla ho Davida ho isa nakong ya ho falisetswa ha ba Juda Babilona. Meloko e le shome le metso e mene mme ho tloha nakong ya ho falisetswa ha bona Babilona ho isa ho Kreste. Meloko e le shome le metso e mene.
It's a very long list of names that might not sound profitable, but you will see that it is profitable.
Ke mabitso a mangata ha bona ka rene ha bohloke e ba bona ta bona rene ha bohloka mabitswana.
So I will read only verse 1 from the English version, the ESV. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. May the good Lord and a blessing to the reading of his way. Well, the question that we begin with is to ask, who do you say that Jesus is? But before we go there, let me give you the title of the message. The title of this message, the genealogy of King Jesus. Who do you say that Jesus is? This is a very important question. It is very important to know the answer to this question, because I think your eternity depends on your answer to such a question. In this church, we don't believe that you can have faith to the true Christ without an accurate perception of who he is. You cannot believe on him whom you do not know. You cannot believe on him whom you do not have knowledge of. It is very important to know who Jesus is. Jesus Christ himself, in the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 13, he asked his disciples. He says to his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they answered and they say, some say you are John the Baptist, some say you are Elijah, some say you are Jeremiah or any other of the prophets. And Jesus, knowing that the people have some kind of misunderstanding and confusion of who he is, then he precisely asked his disciples and say, who then do you say that I am? And Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him back and he said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. Friends, we're living in a time where only the name of Jesus is shouted, but Jesus himself is not known. His work, his purpose, his death and resurrection, his blessing into our lives is not known, is not understood. And I'm convinced that for us to be strong Christians, to be a strong church, we need to know the real Jesus. We need to know Jesus better. So here Matthew is battling with the fact that he wants to win these Jewish brothers. He wants to win them to Christ. He wants to show them that their religion, Judaism, is false. He wants to show them that Judaism has missed the point. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promise. So he writes to these people, aiming to bring this king, to show them the king has come into this world. According to the Old Testament, because they were anticipating the coming of this king. So he reveals to them that something new has happened. In the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah 43, God said, "Behold, I am doing a new thing." So the question is, my friends, can really something new happen? Can a life of a thief change? Can a life of a tax collector be saved? Can a prostitute, a robber, and a murderer see himself in heaven? Can people be raised from the dead? Can people be healed from their sickness and infirmities? So in introducing this king this morning, I want us to look at two important facts about the coming of this king. I want us to be blessed by seeing first the faithfulness of God. Secondly, we're going to see the mercy of God. We have mentioned time and again that the Jews were not a free people. They were under the Roman government at the time. But they had a great promise from God that he will send someone to liberate them from their slavery. He will send someone to lead them and be their Lord. So they kept waiting and holding on to the scriptures and the promises for many years, knowing that the Messiah will come into this world. He will come as a true Jew from the lineage of Abraham and a king as David, a warrior like David. And then he will destroy their enemies and bring them peace and set up a new kingdom. A kingdom that is now here and a kingdom that is yet to be. The reign of God. A kingdom which does not come by observation, a kingdom which is entered into by faith in Jesus Christ. So in verse 1, if you look at your Bibles, he calls him Christ. That's number one. He calls him the anointed. He calls him Christ, the long-awaited king. That was very important since the Jews were waiting for a savior. It was very important for him to identify that this is the Christ. And then he begins to prove that by bringing this genealogy that traces back to the origin of Jesus Christ. It was God who gave them the promise and said, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord. I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and deal wisely with the people. He shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved." And Israel will dwell safely in his land. His name shall be called, "The Lord is Righteousness." He calls him Christ. He calls him Christ. In the same verse, and he calls him the Son of Abraham, the Son of David. Matthew's aim, as I've said earlier on, that he wants to prove that this Jesus is the long-awaited King who has to come into the world and save his people from sin. So it was very important for him to bring this genealogy to satisfy the hearts of the Jews. The genealogy was something very important in the lives of the Jews, brothers and sisters. It was important because they used a genealogy to trace people's origin. So it was important also for the Jews to trace people and see their origin and put them in right perspective. A genealogy was used to qualify the people even to offices. Even when they chose Levites, the priests in the Old Testament, they used a genealogy. A Levite had to be in the lineage of Aaron. So it was important for Matthew then to have a genealogy to prove that this is the Christ, the Messiah that God has promised to bring into this world, the Son of David and the Son of Abraham. So he uses the word genealogy when you look in your Bible in verse number 1. That word in original is Biblios Genesius. What does that mean? It speaks of the origin, the beginning of Jesus, the Son of David. But it doesn't mean that Jesus was beginning right there, but it means how Jesus entered into this world. To say Biblios Genesis is the same thing as the first book of the Bible saying in the beginning. So now we're seeing a new beginning. It's very important to trace that. We see a new beginning. How did Jesus come and begin this new thing and create a new people for himself? To bring all things together through his death, through his resurrection, to reign as king and show God's mercy unto us, and also God fulfilling his promise through him. So Matthew brings these two names, Abraham and David. The servants of God. In Genesis chapter 12, if you may open there.
Genesis chapter 12.
We see that Abraham, who later became the father of the Jews, was told that he would be a great nation and he would receive a great blessing. People will be blessed through him. God gives this promise 2,000 years before Jesus is born. And Matthew then is pointing back and says, do you remember what God said to Abraham? Read from chapter 12, verse 1 to 3.
Verse 3.
I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. All the families, not just the Jews, all the families of the earth will be blessed in Abraham. So Matthew says, this is the one in whom God promised and said he will come into the world and be king of all the nations. Look at the same promise again in Genesis 22, verse
18.
Look at verse 18, what God says there.
He
says, in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because we have obeyed my voice. So that is the reason why, that is the reason why Matthew traces to Jesus, he traces Jesus to Abraham. We must see if this one is the one that God promised, because there are many false Christs, so we need to establish, is this the Christ that must be worshipped? Is he the one that God has promised and says is coming as an offspring? He has to prove to the Jews of the time. We sit here, we want to know, is he the one? He is the one. He qualifies. The genealogy points to him. There is no other genealogy in the world that traces back so far. There are many ways that Matthew is going to prove to us. Even next week we will see Jesus being born. But he also brings a promise that God gave to David. David lived 1,000 years before after Abraham. But God's promise is not saying. God repeated his promise also in David, and he says in 2 Samuel chapter 7. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 12. He says, when your days are fulfilled and you lie down in your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. God speaks to this great king, David. There's never been a king so great as David. But God says there's someone greater that is coming from David's body. Why would the king come from the lineage of David? So that we may see him as the son of God, because he will be greater than the king David. David had an understanding that someone greater than him is coming. So you see, my friends, the genealogy of Jesus Christ is very important, first, to prove God's faithfulness, because God says he will bring someone to liberate people. So God is faithful. We see the faithfulness of God. This genealogy proves to us, it teaches us that the Christ could have been anything. He could have done any other thing. He could have been a miracle worker as he was. He could have been a healer as he was, but if he was not a descendant of Abraham and David, he was going to be disqualified to be the son of God. So you can heal, you can perform miracles, you can be called Jesus or a black Messiah, but if you are not a descendant of Abraham and David, if you are not being qualified by this qualification of Matthew, you are not the Christ. So friends, we can hold in our hearts different messiahs. We can call them black Jesus if you want to. But they are not the King of Glory. They are not the Son of God, the Savior. They will not take away the sin of the world. They are not the true Jesus of Scripture. And if you hold dear to these fantasies and these false Christ, you will remain and die in your sin, and hell awaits such ones. There is one true Jesus. Last week, John the Baptist reminded us and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Lift up your eyes to the one coming through the crowd. He is the only Christ that saves people from their sin and wickedness. So God promised a great nation to Abraham. But a great nation also needs a great king. King Jesus. The one who's greater than David. The one who resisted temptation. He brought his people to righteousness. Unlike David, who fell into sin, he's greater. Greater than David. He did not only defeat his earthly enemies like David, but principalities and rulers in the heavenly places. He triumphed over sin and he defeated the devil. He disarmed him. He disarmed the devil of his power to no longer deceive the nation, which is why the gospel is going through the whole world. Unlike in the Old Testament, where God had a people, the Jews, now we are all his people. Now all the nations of the earth can come to him and have one Christ. We don't have to have a different Christ for different nations. One Christ for all. And the devil does not have power unto those whom God is going to call, those who are the elect of the Father. The Christ shall save. So Matthew this morning assures us this, that these biblical truths we are looking at, they are factual truths. The Christ defeated sin. He conquered sin, unlike the sin that conquered David. He conquered death. But death conquered David. He's greater than David. He's the King of Glory. This is factual. We deal with real people, with real events, we're dealing with real issues. Then maybe I should ask you before I go to my second point. Let me ask you this question. Do you know that God is faithful? Do you know that you can trust and depend and rely upon this faithful God? God who does not get disturbed by a long period of time, but he also delivers. Although there's many years pass where he has promised, but God continues to deliver. Do you know that he will not allow anything and anyone to disrupt his plan? Because he's faithful to his plan. And his plan is to save. And he's faithful. He delivered. He's faithful to forgive our sins. To give you joy and peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding. And fill you with the Holy Spirit, giving you strength to carry on. He's faithful. But secondly, this genealogy shows us that God is merciful. We will see. And I pray that this morning we find the mercy of God. How do we look at mercy? Mercy is an outside manifestation of pity. Someone has to have mercy to a subject that needs great favor. So it is very important that there must be someone who has a great need of mercy so that mercy can be seen. I love that. Because we are a people in great need. And God is a God of great mercy. Unless there's a great need, we won't see great mercy. And praise the Lord, we are those of great need. Then the Lord will show us his great mercy then. Ephesians 2 verse 4 says, God is rich in mercy. In Titus 3 verse 5 it says, God has provided salvation for all people. I think you begin to sense the mercy. There was a great need of salvation, and God delivered. He sent his son into the world. And in his genealogy, we see God continues with this great mercy. If you open here, then you will see in verse number 3 to verse 6, I think, down, there's four women counted there. Let me tell you the story of these women. We have Tema.
Tema,
is a woman who acted like a prostitute and seduced his father-in-law in Genesis
37.
Then in verse 5, you have the name of Rahab. Rahab was the prostitute. But Rahab finds favor. I'm ahead of myself now. But then in verse 6 we have Bathsheba. You won't see her name, but it says Uriah's wife. Uriah's wife was Bathsheba, who gave birth to Solomon, the son of David. She was an adulterous woman. Prostitute and that has given favors also. Oh, same thing. Okay. So Ruth. Then you have Ruth as well.
It's
counted there. Ruth was a Gentile woman who worshipped idols. There was an idolatrous woman in Moab. But we see God's mercy in the genealogy of Christ. These sinners are counted. So what's the point? What's the point? The point is that the Messiah came into this world regardless of the sin of the people in his lineage. The Messiah came through grace. God kept his promises regardless of unfaithfulness and regardless of unrighteousness on the part of the people. David sinned. He lied. And he laid with another man's wife. Consequently, killed the husband for his beautiful wife. David killed a lot of people after that. He compromised a lot of people so that Uriah may die. So he put a lot of people in the front of the Bethlehem with Uriah, and those people died, and they were innocent. But here's the surprise. David is counted here as the ancestor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because David found grace. Abraham also sinned. He was called from an idolatrous family. His father worshipped idols. But God looked beyond that and called him and saved him by his grace. All these people, brothers and sisters, sin. But Matthew goes on and he shows them something closer than to them. They must not look at Abraham. They must not look too much at the sin of David. Their own sin. Matthew brings it in verse 12. And verse 11, if you want to. The people must see the mercy of God. We must also see the mercy of God. So they must stand regardless of what's happening. In verse 12, he reminds them of their deportation to Babylon. The question is, how did they end up in Babylon? How did they end up there? They rejected the counsel of God. They rejected God's ways. They rebelled against God. Now, Matthew reminds them. He says, God still sends his son regardless of your sin. But it was your sin that led him send his son. Your sin could not disrupt his plan. Your sin made his plan known to the world. He sent his son. And he says, this is the son of David, the savior of the world. This is the one who will establish the throne of David from the consequences of sin without relying on anyone's righteousness. In verse 6 and in verse 8 and in verse 11, there are three names counted there. These people counted there, they didn't even know that God will use them to bring Christ into this world. You see, my friends, you don't know what God will do in your life. But it's very important to see these names. You have Joam, Rehoboam, we have Jechonias. Yeah, that's what they call him. These people are wicked people. These were wicked people. They were evil in their hearts. But why am I bringing these names, Bazalwan? So that we may see how God's mercy works. So that we may see that we must be humbled before God for His grace. These three names I've mentioned, they had devout fathers. They had sincere leaders in their house. Great example. They had good advices when they grew up. But they remained in sin. Friends, the grace of God does not run in a family like Indian wealth. It's not from father to son, from father to son. So what am I saying? We need something greater than better advices and good examples in our lives for us to become the children of God. That's what the point is. They had all this good stuff, but they continued in sin. Matthew says you need a king. You'll see in verse 21 next week why you need a king. Let me whisper that to your ear. Because he will save his people from sin. Regardless of where you come from, regardless of how good your father was, regardless of how bad your father was, if you will lift up your eyes unto him, your history doesn't matter. Your own genealogy doesn't matter. God shows mercy. Rahab, a prostitute, was saved. Ruth, a gentle woman who worshipped idols, was saved. And also Bathsheba, an adulterous woman, was saved. Abraham, a liar, was saved. David, a killer, was saved. That's why the Bible says his mercies are new every day. And those who come to him, he will never cast away. Will you not submit to him this morning, the King of glory? Will you not lift up your eyes and see him as King and see him as your Savior of your life? David messed up, Abraham messed up, Ruth messed up. All these people have counted, they messed up, but God showed his mercy. God was still faithful. God is always faithful, even this morning. Maybe your heart is like the heart of Joem, Rehoboam, and Josephus. Evil men. Maybe you've done so much shameful things like them. Maybe you've done shameful things in your life. But this king has come. Regardless of what you did. But for the sake of what you did. Maybe you are a Christian this morning. Let me ask you a question. Is Christ Jesus your King? Are you submissive and obedient to the word of God? Are you living in the manner of the gospel? Are you living in the light of Christ? Is your heart still desiring God? Or else are you sitting there dry and thirsty? Maybe you are. Maybe you are.
Maybe you are.
But you must remember. Jesus is the true drink. He's the one that quenches our thirst. Whosoever comes to him will not thirst nor hunger. So you can give your life unto him. Jesus was human, friends. I'm closing. That's what this genealogy proves to us. He came. Why is that important? He came and lived among us. He took a form of a man so that he may save sinners like me and you. He came as a king to seek the lost, to make many the inhabitants of his kingdom. But let me remind you this one last thing. All the names of the people we have read this morning are kept here. But they died. The names are kept, but they died. Doesn't that remind you that you will also die? The question is, will you die like Abraham? Will you die like David, who died in the Lord? Will you die like Ruth? Will you die like the other women I've counted? Ruth, Bathsheba, and Rahab. Prostitutes, adulterous women who died in the Lord. Or will you die like Joam, Rehoboam, and Jehonias, who died in their sin and sink to hell? But the Bible says, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord right now. Here's the question again. Who do you say that Jesus is? The Bible says, he's the long-awaited Messiah, the King of the Jews, the Son of Abraham, the Son of David. He is the God to welcome adulterers and idolaters and prostitutes, thieves, robbers. He welcomes all of these people unto him. He welcomes them in his kingdom. He is the faithful and merciful God who allows sinners to be named and numbered with him. So I pray that you may long your name to be numbered with him. He wants us to know him. To know him right. Once we know him right, we will worship him right. Then he will bless us. May the Lord bless you. Let the word of God sink in your heart. I pray that we may all find grace and mercy and strength to carry on even in this week. You can give your life to him. You can lift up your heart right now. As I pray, he knows in your heart. If you genuinely turn to him, he has promised he will never cast you away. The king has come. Come to him. Remain in him. Amen. Let's stand as I pray. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, O God. We are thankful, O King, this morning to be reminded of your faithfulness and your mercy unto sinners like us. O God, we pray that he may be revealed unto us, that we may not reject him as they did in the past. We thank you, our Father. Save your inheritance this morning. See in those who repent and come to you in faith in Jesus Christ. I pray that you may extend your mercy and favor unto them, that your hand may not be shortened to save, and your ear may not be dull that you may hear. Save your inheritance this morning, and bless the preaching of your word, O God. In Jesus' wonderful name, we all say Amen.
Amen.